Looking at integration, it's about bringing together or the incorporating into a whole. To integrate, obviously, separated qualities, separated topics, objects into a larger whole. And if it's bringing together different and sometimes seemingly opponent parts, it's about mixing, blending, steering, and an activity. It's not something which is a passive act, but it's obviously an activity. So it's pointing towards us once more. It asks something from us, from me, to somehow deal with that what appears separate. As the historic Buddha called it, when he spoke about the core reasons of suffering, he identified five core reasons, but the key one, to my understanding, was the illusion of separation, the illusion of a separate self. When we enter that practice, at a certain point in time, it will become clear that the underlying, the core of it is about the realization of the oneness of life. That separation is an illusion. So, and then, taking regard in that saying by the Buddha, that integration is obviously a direct related answer to that question. How to overcome suffering? How to enrich your life? How to become whole? At the end of the day, it's living a life that matters and living your life fully, which already asks something from ourselves. Like, wow, it could be a precious opportunity to be alive, to have a life given. Buddhism, as you definitely know, especially in the Zen tradition, is very rich in stories, very rich in metaphors. And you might have heard about Dogen Zenji, one of the key founders of the Japanese tradition of Zen, of the Soto Zen lineage in the 13th century. He was very, very remarkable, I would say. And he really shaped Zen to the core, in my understanding. And he wrote an interesting book about many interesting books. A beautiful one are the instructions to the cook. He wrote a dedicated manual what it means to be a Zen cook. And on one hand, it was a real manual for the tenso in the monastery, which is the second highest rank in the organization. There is one task the Zen cook does, preparing as the supreme meal. This supreme meal is made out of five main courses. The first course is spirituality. The second course is study and learning. The third is right livelihood. The fourth is social action. And the fifth is relationship and community. Entering this kitchen is guided by one principle first. And the principle for the Zen cook is to make the best possible meal with whatever is given already. May it be only rice and water, or may it be the full arrangement of ingredients, of food, of various kinds. But it's about whatever is given already to us, to you. Many people can see that as a vast liberating act, as a vast liberating invitation to ending the intention to wait for the right circumstances. You might know that from your life. You know, we all know that. I know that from my life. You know, this idea of, oh, I have to study and then I will do it. Or first I have to be rich and then I will be happy. Or first I have to do this and then I can. Which all points, right now I cannot. Is something out there that's missing. And this liberating act, this invitation, what we get by this teaching is we are right now in the middle of it. And we always will be. We are already in the middle of it. No waiting necessary. This is actually the practice where another core teaching of Zen comes into play. You definitely heard of this practice of not knowing. This attitude, this mindful attitude of not knowing, being present in the world, just not knowing. Not knowing meaning having our conceptual mind kind of contained and not immediately adding its labeling to every single phenomenon which arises. Good, bad, right, wrong, want, don't want, etc. You mightn't know that too. So this is the core first principle of the Zen Cook is make the best out of that which is given to you. Don't wait. It's already here. When we enter the courses, the menu, spirituality is the beginning. And there is a kind of line in these five courses. Because as you, from your own experience as cooks, as real cooks, maybe, you know it matters in which consequence we add ingredients. It doesn't make sense to add the last ingredient at the beginning and the other way around. There is a kind of direction to it. So we start cooking with cultivating that what we call our spirituality. And our traditions offer beautiful practices. We call them meditation in various forms. But it's not only about meditation. It can be singing. Can be dancing, it can be something where you develop a mastery, where you allow yourself to come to that still point of absolute presence. And meditation is a very powerful tool to do so. The second course is studying and learning, like you do today. The last month, exploring specific aspects. The third course, right livelihood. To me, it's pointing towards that life is out there. And again, it's not about the right job, it's about the right livelihood. This will change too. It's stepping into this unknown of manifesting for the first time, informed by practice and spirituality, and not separated. And this is where the power starts. This is when we start weaving this fabric of our life. The fourth main course is what we call social action. At some point in time, we will choose a direction. More consciously than we ever thought we might. Bringing together all various aspects that life brings, that show in our life. Before we go to the fifth aspect, I would like to talk about the cooking, the activity of the cook. So first of all, she uses everything that's given. She does not use that what is not given, which does not mean that she will use every ingredient for every meal. Like, why would you add chili to something where there is no chili needed? We usually cook with heat. What does he do in the kitchen? Heat is like the core of the alchemist's toolset. This magic of fire starts a chemical process of absolute transformation. Nothing stays the same. It's not the assembly of X57X ingredients, but it's a completely new, through that chemical process of the cooking, something new appears. This tasty, juicy, whatever, stew. Undistinguishable afterwards. You cannot take it apart anymore because it has completely changed its nature. Recall the last argument you had. Maybe with one of your parents or a friend. Can you recall this fierce, fiery, energetic heat coming up? And this summer of helplessness or aggression or anger you felt? Looking at this moment, and I call it a precious moment, a rich moment, looking at that moment as a singular event, we would usually call this a breakdown. We are angry about it, it happened again. How can I get out of here? You know the feeling. But what does it do? In reality, it's this, the permanent process of the cooking of your life, the advancement of your life. Although it might not seem that way in the given moment. But looking back, we often can see that this process made absolute sense. And without that process, we wouldn't have achieved the next step. It's like from one stepping stone, moving on to the next. So also part of this process of cultivating a practice is cultivating patience with yourself. Loving patience. Allow yourself to be in this state of being in between stages. So this heat actually is leading to transformation. This is transformation, and therefore, actually, when we talk about integration, we talk about transformation in reality. Because it's not that, otherwise it would be inhaling and the old stays the same. No, nothing can stay the same. Everything is moving, as we know. And the ingredients are manifold in all that. Our body is an ingredient. The parents, as we said, our relationships are ingredients. Our thoughts, ideas, the place we live is an ingredient. The world we inhabit is an ingredient. Yeah, and the fifth main course, relationship and community. The supreme meal, we do not cook for ourselves. We offer it to the world. It's never for us. It's always for the larger world. And again, this is a practice. And we have in the course of the Buddhist teachings are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. If we know there is no realization possible without the Sangha, without the co-students, without the world, actually. Again, it's not in the temple happening, it's not in the books. They're just informing us. But we have to live it out fully together with the world we face. Might we like it or not? Especially today. But again, you know, as we say, the Buddha only thrives in muddy waters. The lotus only thrives in muddy waters. So it might be good conditions, which we are facing right now. Muddy waters. Not seeing clearly. Good conditions. For you and me, for all of us together.